Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. We are live following the Wolves game 2 victory over the Golden State Warriors by a final score of 117-93. It's gonna be interesting to try to really parse this game, because ultimately from my point of view, it's just like there's not a whole lot to say. Once Steph Curry goes down, this Warriors team is just significantly much worse offensively. Their defense was great all night, and we'll talk about that. But ultimately, the Wolves just have so many options. I mean, if Anthony Edwards, knock on wood, never misses a game, but like if he was out for longer than the few minutes he missed today, like the Wolves would be in a tough spot. So that was my thought. Just that we all knew it when Curry went out, that the tone of the series shifts dramatically. I posted about it that the Wolves had a higher chance to win the series after the game one loss because of the Curry injury news than they did before the series started. And it's just all due to the series. And now they'll pick up some odds after tonight. But it goes from a series that is like a toss up or a slight Wolves to just like the Warriors are gonna have to fight and claw to get back into the series, unfortunately. And it stinks. I think it stinks, obviously, mostly for the Warriors, but it stinks for the Wolves, too, obviously to a much, much lesser extent. But they got the job done tonight. They played an undermanned team without their best player that has been traveling the world, seemingly, throughout these playoffs. They were tired. They kind of let go of the rope towards the end of the beginning of the second half, but rebounded nicely to win. Just kind of talking with some Golden State people. Curry will be reevaluated in 1 week. 1 week from the announcement, which was yesterday. So he could potentially play in game 5. From the sense I get, that just doesn't seem likely. Maybe if the Wolves are able to win both games in San Francisco and there's an elimination game 5, maybe that changes the calculus to try to force him out there. I'm just really dubious on a game 5 return for Curry. So really the Warriors' goal is to win one of these next two in San Francisco, which will force at least a game 6 for them, there's a big gap between games 5 and 6. Which gives Curry a fighter's chance of coming back for game 6, which then they would need to go runner 6-7 to win the series. It's not worth speculating on Curry's status beyond that, because maybe he is ready for 6. Maybe he's unfortunately played his last games of the series. We really don't know. They don't know. It's going to come down to how he recovers from this thing. Wolves win game 2, not up the series at 1. The unfortunate reality is the Wolves should win every single game that Curry misses in this series, and it should look somewhat like it did tonight. It wasn't a great performance from the Wolves, but ultimately they were in control of that. Basically, they scored the first 13 points of the game, and they were in control of this game from that point forward. They should win every game Curry doesn't play. Like I said, it stinks that is the reality of the series, but it is. The Warriors are just, as any team would, are just not good enough to beat the Wolves without their best player. And it's not even a shot at the Warriors. That's true of every single team probably in these playoffs, shy of like the Durant Warriors of back in the day, the best team I've ever seen. But yeah, but for tonight, Workman Light victory. I thought it was a really good sign to see them both start the game on a 13-0 run. That was big because the energy was not in the right place. I'm not going to say the effort was bad to start game one, but it just, the energy wasn't quite there. So for them to get the crowd into it, start off 13-0, I thought was big. Jaden and Mike knocking down the first 2 3-pointers of the game as the Wolves missed their first 16 of game one was good. Just kind of get rid of some of those nerves. I tweeted out so the Wolves hit their first 2 threes of the game, and it took them 21 attempts to hit 2 3-pointers last night, Tuesday night. So just a much different kind of start to the game, and that's how the Wolves should do it. They don't deserve, I'm just kind of thinking about the series writ large. If we were hoping for some sort of like Rudy gets his comeuppance on Draymond, or the Wolves get to embarrass Jimmy for his transgressions all those years ago, unfortunately, that just isn't going to be in the case. Not because there's not much. Those guys played great, and there's just not much for them or the Warriors to do if the Wolves are going to play. I don't know what I would determine. This is probably like an average outing for the Wolves. Some good, some bad. If the Wolves are going to play even their average game, it's going to be hard for this undermanned Warriors team to beat them. I don't know. I mean, they only lost by 11 in game one, and that was about as bad as they played all year. Yeah, the Wolves got the job done, made just enough plays. Going through kind of more of the game flow here, Wolves go up 13-0. They carry that lead into the middle parts of the second quarter, where Draymond Green makes his first appearance of the series, in the sense of picked up a dead ball technical foul. I kind of thought it should have been a flagrant. Kind of surprised that it wasn't a flagrant, although I'm not sure the rule, because the Nas foul occurred before and it wasn't technically during the course of play. If that changes, there's no flagrant to be had in that case? I'm not sure. Ultimately, he deserved the technical. Insane that he was in the ref's face complaining about it. You hit someone in the head with your elbow. It's a technical or a flagrant foul. That's just how the rules work. So for him to be screaming at the refs, which would have been, it's just a classic case for Draymond. They didn't want to eject him with the second technical, but he deserved a technical there too. And I mean, the Warriors organization has enabled this kind of stuff. Jordan Poole isn't on their team anymore because he punched him during a practice. The Warriors have enabled this, but I thought it was at least nice that Kerr checked him out of the game to get him to cool down. So nothing further happened besides Nas getting hit in the head. So that was notable. Ultimately, in the Draymond Green of it all, that's kind of a low level sort of transgression there. But then the other notable part of the second quarter was Anthony Edwards going down with an ankle injury. He was labeled questionable during halftime, and as everyone saw, played the entire second half, or his normal rotations in the second half. The hope, obviously, every time Ant goes down like that, is just like he's going to do what he always do and spring back up. And maybe, again, knock on wood, that there isn't a time where he doesn't get back up. But until proven guilty, kind of like when he goes down with those injuries, you just got to assume he's going to come back and reevaluate. When he doesn't, missed about 6 minutes of the second quarter, looked a little spry coming out of the halftime locker room. I saw him running down the tunnel. Looked okay. Saw him play out there. I think it kind of loosened up as the second half went on. So I guess the last kind of remaining worry there is that it tightens up as they fly out to San Francisco here. But every expectation will be that he'll be ready to go for game three. I'm sure Finch will be asked about that in the press conference after following this game. But yeah, heading into the third quarter, I just thought this was about as bad as a little play. Even with the awful game one, I thought the start of the third quarter was about as brutal as the Wolves played in this two-game stretch at home. Just bad turnovers, not getting back in transition, terrible defensive energy. The Warriors scored more points in the first 6 minutes of the third quarter than they did in the entire first quarter. So basically doubling, more than doubling their offensive output from the beginning of the game. Just a frustrating stretch, but ultimately they follow it up with a 14-3 run to immediately put the lead back at 18. And it was pretty much over from there. Last 3 minutes of the game, we got our, as I watched Luka Garza walk onto the center court here, we got our Luka Garza special. I thought it was funny that three different times the Warriors missed the front end of two free throws, and then all three times quieted up the crowd, one of which was Jimmy. So I thought that was, I was like, it would be funny if Jimmy was the one to give everyone chicken, but thematically, him silencing the crowd at the free throw kind of makes sense. Given his history. But yeah, like I said, Wolves win 117-93. The closest it got in the fourth quarter was 15 points. They had it wrapped up. Basically, that 14-3 run late in the third quarter was the deal breaker. Going down the Wolves roster, Anthony Edwards, solid game. Hard to really get on anyone too much when you win by, what is it? Math is hard. 24 points. Anthony Edwards, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, goes 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, gets to the line 8 times, makes 6 of them. The 9 rebounds and 5 assists are big to me. His offensive game, specifically layups, have just been kind of a disaster for him. I'm not sure. It's been a brutal thing for him all year, but as I count him up here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, misses his first 5 layups of the game just to make the final 3. So finishing in the paint has been an issue for all year. Weirdly, he's clearly frustrated about the officiating. To a certain extent, I get it. He's kind of getting hit on the arms as he does his up and under moves and step through moves. And, he's not getting the calls there. I get his frustration, but ultimately in the playoffs, you're a lot less likely to get those calls, and a little frustrating to see him continue to, have a brutal shooting stretch in the paint, but did enough down the stretch of the game, obviously, to win. Jaden McDaniels, phenomenal defensively. Only had 2 rebounds, but had 16 points, 7 of 10 from the floor. Made one of his 2 threes. 3 steals, 3 blocks. Just incredible Jaden game. The offense was fine, but, I mean, and that's what they need from Jaden. Fantastic defense, and I mean, we saw earlier in the year so many times where he was just like a zero on offense, just being parked in the corner. And obviously, we've all watched that not be the case down the stretch of the season, and it wasn't the case tonight. He did a good job getting out in transition, making tough buckets. He made a couple layups, but a lot of them were like floaters in the lane or like fading jumpers. Just thought it was a phenomenal Jaden game. The defense was there the entire night, and that's going to have to be, not have to be, but that's going to be something the Wolves are going to rely on this entire series while Curry is out. The Warriors just don't have nearly enough offensive options for a very solid Wolves defense. I think they finished 6th in net rating in defense. The Warriors just don't have enough, and again, it sucks that it's mostly because, I mean, before the series, I would have probably argued that if the Wolves can do a good job on Curry, the Warriors wouldn't have enough offensively, but especially with Curry out, it's a tall task. But the Wolves got to keep like putting the pedal to the metal. I really think, I mean, I'll say that the Wolves should win, assuming Curry's out the next 3 games, the Wolves should finish the series in 5. They just should. Like, we watched it tonight. It's not close. These two teams are not close when without, I mean, like, I don't need to keep repeating, but like, as would the case would be if the situations are reversed, the Wolves might be as equipped to deal with a superstar injury as much as anyone. But no matter who, no matter how much depth you have or think you have, like, it's the reality of the NBA. I guess football has it with quarterbacks, maybe to a much lesser extent, like baseball and and a starting pitcher, hockey and a goalie, but it's just, it's an unfortunate reality of the series. Julius Randle, next guy on my list, was all right in the first half. Thought many of the energy issues were there, just not getting back in transition. Ball movement wasn't there, but in the second half, I thought he was the Wolves' best player. 24 points, 10 of 17 shooting, 7 rebounds. We were kind of triple-double watching him there. Only were able to grab one fourth-quarter rebound. So finishes 3 rebounds shy of a triple-double. He's had 14 triple-doubles in his regular season career. It could have been his first playoff triple-double, but 11 assists for Randle, which is always a big number for Julius. When he's able to get into the lane, get his bully ball stuff going, and make tough passes or solid passes to open guys, that's just such a big deal for this team. Finding an extra creator next to Ant. Only 2 turnovers. Again, big number for Julius in that with the playmaking for any player comes potential turnovers, and he was able to limit those. And then, like I said, 24 points, led the Wolves in scoring in a workmanlike game. The bully ball stuff is going to work against these smaller teams and smaller Golden State lineups if and when they get to a next series and they aren't playing these small ball lineups. OKC and Denver don't play small. But for now, Randle did what he needed to do. Plus 17, the 3 guys I listed, Ant, Jaden, and Julius, plus 21, plus 20, plus 17. Those guys were key tonight. Next, Rudy Gobert. A frustrating Rudy effort, just kind of a lot of the classic hand stuff, a lot of just fumbling the ball, all that good stuff. But all the other classic was his defense was outstanding. Shut down the paint. So many times Warriors players would try to drive into the paint and they would just turn around seeing Rudy. They don't, with Curry, the Warriors kind of had something like you don't really want Gobert chasing Curry around screen. So the Warriors had kind of a way to potentially attack Gobert, but without Curry, it's a nice matchup for Rudy. He's guarding Draymond pretty much the entire time, a little bit on Butler, which both of those guys can shoot the threes, and they've both shot it well really in this series, although Draymond was 1 of 6 tonight. Jimmy split his 4 three-point attempts. But yeah, neither of those guys are going to blow by you, which I think is actually, like when we talk about Rudy ISOs, which he's been great all year, the way to beat him on those is to drive by him. Like it is with, it's not even a thing about Rudy, it's just any big guarding in space. And Luka and LeBron really didn't do that in the last series, but the guy that did was Austin Reeves, the quickest of those three, like your offensive pieces. And without Steph, they just don't have that type of piece to be able to, if Rudy switched out on him to drive by. Jimmy tried a couple times to drive by Rudy and to not a whole bunch of success. So probably the most classic Rudy game. You would have liked to see a few more offensive rebounds than just 2, but ultimately he was a plus 9, locked down the paint, great defense. It is what it is with Rudy at this point. You'd like to see more of what he did in game 5. Ultimately, you got to give credit to the Warriors for doing a better job of like rebounding. That I will say, like, that's been the biggest thing between this series and the Lakers series is rebounding and defense. The Warriors are just doing so much better job at that. And I don't even think they have, especially with Curry out, they don't really have more defense. They don't really have like more rebounding talent than the Lakers, but they just, the effort is so much higher. So give the Warriors credit there again. It stinks, the reality of the injury status, but Mike Conley, solid enough game. Hits his 2, scores 6 points on 2 3-pointers, a couple rebounds, couple assists. Kind of another realistic Mike game. Only played 17 minutes. They leaned more into Dante and Nikhil in this one. It's kind of been a whole series for Mike. I disagree that they should make any drastic changes for now, but what they did in the Lakers series when the games were close is they went with their best 5-man lineup, and that's, I think, all you can ask for. I don't particularly mind who is starting, and if you're talking about who's starting, the Wolves started off on a 13-0 run, so It's hard to quibble with the starting lineup too much. Naz Reid, just with everyone, it's obvious, but like just knocking down shots is so important. Naz knocks down 3 of his 8 3-pointers, adds another 2-pointer in there. Bench high, plus 18, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 11 assists. Defense was solid, got called for a couple fouls that were fairly frustrating. None of which I don't think, 3 non-shooting fouls. So a bit of a rough whistle there for Naz, but thought it was a solid game for Naz. And the main player that I think was played above what he's did is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Nickeil has been the Wolves' most consistent player the entire regular season. I would say every other player, you can pick out spots where they were sensational. You can pick out spots where they were not very good. And Nickeil was really the only player that the entire series was just steady, was a solid piece, knocking down shots, playing great defense. And that's what we saw tonight, was the Nickeil from the regular season, and probably a little bit more. 7 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 6 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and 20 points for Nickeil. The Wolves are going to be hard to beat when Nickeil's playing like that. It's just a reality of their offense. He's basically their 8th guy coming off the bench. I would argue, I don't think it's particularly close, the best 8th man in the league. He finished 6th in 6th man of the year voting, so that's, if you finish 6th in 6th man of the year, it's like you won the award, right? But knocking down 4 3-pointers. Dante, same thing. 3 of 8 from 3. Exactly what you needed. Probably still left something on the table. We were joking before the game with him. People saw the new Pope, first American Pope. And he's a Villanova grad. So Dante was excited about that. His former Villanova coach, Jay Wright, was texting their group chat, which I would assume would be all those Villanova guys, most of which are on the Knicks at this point. He was texting Dante about in the group chat about the Villanova pride of the Pope. So it was good to see. Who knows if the conclave ended up affecting Dante's game? Obviously, it's tongue in cheek there, but one of the better shooting games Dante's had, and added in 5 assists, just a solid performance. Looking at the team numbers, Wolves had 33 assists on 44 makes. Just a workmanlike effort there. Really good to see, as in the first game, they really didn't have enough assists. Just kind of looking at like how many buckets. So they had 11 non-assisted buckets. If I can count them up here, just how many were like just true isolation buckets. One first one is a Rudy tip-in, so don't need an assist there. Randall driving layup, Randall tip-in layup, Jaden layup. So all these I think every single one of these non-assisted buckets were in the paint, which is just a good sign that if all of your buckets are either being assisted on or are in the paint, either tip dunks or drives to the rim, that's just a good diet. I thought the Wolf shot diet was phenomenal. They shot 37 3-pointers, 52 pointers, and 20 free throws. That's about as good as it gets in terms of a shot map. Hard to complain too much about that. Thinking about Golden State some more, Jimmy was solid, 17 points, but it's not fair to say this, but they need more from Jimmy. Again, absolutely not fair, but they're going to need like the Miami Heat playoff Jimmy if they're going to win this series, at least for one game. Again, it's ultimately not fair because that's not necessarily who the player he is right now in his career, but it is what it is at that point. Other guys that played well, Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not surprised to see the Warriors go to him here. He led the Warriors in scoring with 18 points. As Nickeil walks across the court here, I'm Looks like Nikhil and Jaden were on the podium there as Nikhil leaves. But yeah, Kuminga, not surprised to see them lean into him. They just need some more offensive creation, and it's obvious that Kerr has been frustrated with his stretch of play down the stretch of the season. He got benched toward the end of the season, but when you're missing offensive talent, you got to go to something, and they played Kuminga for 26 minutes. The three-point shot just looks just not good enough, which is just, that's a big thing with this whole Warriors team, is that they don't have enough shooting. I mean, obviously they're missing the greatest shooter of all time. Kuminga shot 30.5% from three this season and wasn't much better in previous seasons. It's obvious that they had to go to him, but ultimately it's not a good lever to pull ultimately, because Kuminga hasn't been a good enough player to play in the playoffs without a shot. Trayce Jackson-Davis was pretty good. Dominated the paint kind of in his few minutes, but had four quick fouls in 19 minutes. Another non-shooting player. The rest of the Warriors bench, Moses Moody, 0 of 5, 4 of which threes. Pat Spencer, 0 of 2. And Gary Payton only... I'm surprised to see Gary Payton only play 11 minutes. I thought he was kind of feisty on defense. But the Warriors bench is just like where they lost the game. They only lost Butler's minutes by 4. They only lost Draymond's minutes by 3. They won Podzemski's minutes by 1. But the bench, Jackson Davis minus 15. Quinton Post started, but Quinton Post only played 3 minutes. I guess it's the 13-0 run. But played the first 3 minutes of the game and didn't play the rest. A curious choice to start Post. I'm not sure what opposing coaches are doing with some of the bigs they're starting, because it kind of reminds you of Jackson Hayes, but played Quinton Post 3 minutes, minus 13. But the rest of the Warrior bench, Kuminga minus 8, Moody minus 13, Pat Spencer minus 20, Gary Payton minus 13. We'll see if, I would guess that as the Warriors try to steal either game 3 or 4, that Kerr tightens up the rotation and plays Butler closer to 40, plays Draymond closer to 35, plays Buddy and Podzemski in the mid-30s and minutes. I'd imagine that's coming, because I think they don't expect to win a home game 5, and so if they want to have Curry come back for game 6, it's going to be through winning one of those two games at Chase. And it'll be up to the Wolves to do that, if they can stop them, or if just the Curry injury is going to implode their season, unfortunately. But to close it out here, Wolves 117, Warriors 93. Not a great performance offensively, fantastic defense against an undermanned team. Got the job done. But yeah, the post-game press conferences are running a little bit long, and I started early, so I'm going to wrap it up here. We will have some sort of content following game 3 for everyone. But for Ryan, or for Leo and Andrew out in the universe, I'm Ryan. Thank you everyone for listening. Go Wolves. Ayo!
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.